Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
You've heard me say it before, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a revelation. It's a revelation in the first instance and a relationship based upon a revelation in the second. We believe there are two principal ways God has revealed himself to us. Tradition is the teaching of the apostles, received from Christ and handed down in the church. And Scripture. Scripture in its present form came out of the tradition. It's the tradition in written form. The Bible is both a book and a library of books. It's a book in that it presents a single story, the story, the history of salvation, of what God has done among us. At the same time, the Bible is a library of books that were composed by individual authors who wrote in their own particular time and place, according to the constraints of their own particular culture. Christianity believes that revelation began with a single specific man, a man named Abraham. God revealed himself to Abraham and began a relationship with him. The Old Testament is, first of all, made up of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, which tell the story of God's relationship with Abraham and his family, a family that became a nation, the nation of Israel. Next come the historical books, the story of the rise of that nation in God's favor and grace and its fall in disobedience. Next, we have the prophetic books, which talk about God's vision for the people. And finally, the wisdom books, or the wisdom literature, that include a wealth of thoughts and insights on life and God and life with God. Through these very different books, God reveals himself to the Jewish people. Then, in the fullness of time, at just the right time, God sent his Son to be his ultimate revelation. His story is told in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then what followed, the life of the early church, is recounted in the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles tells the story of the beginning of the church. The end of the story comes in the book of Revelation. And in between, we have all the letters or epistles, the letters of Peter, Paul, James, John, and Jude, which bring a wealth of instruction and advice for the life of the church and our own lives too. 73 different books, 40 different authors, written on three different continents in three different languages over the course of about 1,600 years. You've got to admit, it's pretty impressive. Even if you don't believe the Bible is true or inspired by God, it's still impressive. Having sold more copies, translated into more languages, read by more people than any other book in human history. There's a wisdom in this book that has stood the test of time, that can help you no matter who you are or what you believe. Even if you're not a Christ follower, we invite you to take a look or another look at the Bible. That's what this series is all about. We're in the fourth week of our final series for the spring season. And we're taking a look this series at increasing our engagement with the Bible. Because we know we grow as more mature Christ followers as we become more engaged in His Word. So far, we've looked at three key ways to engage in the Bible. The first way, the most obvious way, is simply to read it. And we put together a 40-day reading guide that covers most all of the New Testament, if you're interested in following along with us. The second way that we engage Scripture is to study it, to dig down deep into it, to pay closer attention to it, asking questions, maybe even doing a little research. And the third way we talked about last week to engage with Scripture is to memorize it. When you memorize verses, you can carry them with you and call them to mind in different frustrations. You can speak them out over difficult and even dead areas of your life, and with God's Word, bring those areas back to life. Today, we're going to look at the most important way to engage Scripture. The most important way to engage Scripture. In fact, I'll say that all of the other ways of engaging Scripture are meant to lead to this way. They're preparatory for this way of engaging Scripture. And to look at this way, to help us do that, we're going to look at a passage from John's Gospel. It's perhaps the most famous passage in all of Scripture, and for sure, a passage that you will want to memorize. You know, in the third chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus speaks these words to a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, part of that religious leadership in Jesus' day. And the Pharisees largely were the bad guys in the gospel story, adversaries to Jesus and what he was trying to do. But Nicodemus was a good guy. Nicodemus admired Jesus and wanted to learn from him, but he was afraid. So he goes to Jesus at night, so that none of the other Pharisee friends of his will find out about it. And Jesus offers Nicodemus some of the most basic and profound truths about God that we have. He begins in this way. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. The feast we mark this weekend celebrates the Trinity. The Trinity, which is revealed throughout all of Scripture, tells us that God is a community of persons, a community of love. And God's love is so great, it's expansive. It doesn't remain closed in on itself. God's love is so great, it includes everything, the whole world, the whole of creation. God the Father so loved the world that he gave his best. He gave his Son, the second person of the Trinity. He sent his Son in the power of the Spirit to die on the cross. When you look at the cross, it's easy to imagine the pain Jesus went through there. But consider the pain of God the Father as he watched his son suffer. God so intensely loves the world, he offered his son to the world, knowing that the world would reject him. God gave his best, knowing that his best would be rejected. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. We're going to return in a moment to that word believes, because it's often misunderstood, as is the phrase eternal life. God gave his son so that we might have eternal life. What's that? Well, eternal life is not just quantity, as in life without end, life forever with God in heaven. Eternal life is also about quality of life, meaning and purpose and richness and depth, abundance, abundance of joy and of peace. He goes on, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Jesus says that God the Father didn't send him into the world to condemn the world. Why not? Well, he didn't have to. The world was already condemned. It was under condemnation by sin and selfishness. If current events in the news these days tell us nothing else, they certainly underscore that fact. God sent his son into the world so that people might be saved through him despite sin and selfishness. The key to eternal life, the key to Jesus saving us, is by believing him. What does that mean? Well, believing in Jesus doesn't just mean believing that he existed, or that he was a good guy, or that he spoke the truth, or even that he is the Son of God, although it certainly does include all of those things. But believing is not just a mental assent to a formal truth. Believing means more and more investing the weight of my life in what God says in order to do what God does. Believing means more and more investing the weight of my life in what God says in order to do what God does. It means acting in accord with God's word. Believing is like opening a faucet of God's grace and love into my life to flow through my life. Believing leads to action. It leads to love. The fruit of believing is always a response. Being saved means being saved from something for something. From sin and selfishness for selflessness and service. It's really as simple as that. You know, we really only believe the parts of the Bible that we put into practice. For God's word to really save me and change me, I have to live it. I have to live it out. I have to put it into practice. That's why application of God's word is the most important way to engage God's word. You read it, you study it, you memorize it for sure. But you read it, you study it, you memorize it in order to prepare for the application so that you can apply it to your life and through your life. So the question becomes, how? How do we apply Scripture to our lives? Well, there's lots of different ways for sure, but here are just three ways. The first application that I can make involves an attitude to change, a sin to confess. You can read a passage and realize, perhaps for the first time, you need to change. You need to change your way of thinking about something or someone. You've been looking at a situation all wrong, and you need a course correction. Or you're convicted by the Word of God of something in your life that you need to get rid of, that you need out of your life, an attitude to change, a sin to confess. The second application involves a truth to believe, a prayer to pray. You know, believing is not only a matter of the mind, but also of the heart. So going back to the passage from John we've been looking at, you might realize that you need to seek deeper belief in God's love for you. And that becomes a matter of prayer, asking God for that deeper faith. Scripture, in this case, becomes your prayer. A truth to believe, a prayer to pray. And third, a command to fulfill, an example to follow. For instance, elsewhere in John's Gospel, Jesus gives us the command that is the central command, the basic command, the most important command of all. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Obviously, not far from our thoughts currently is the tragic situation unfolding in our nation just this past week. The twin scourges of racism, which is very real, and violence, which is always to be regretted, coming in a truly surrealistic way in the midst of a pandemic. Who could have imagined such a scenario? And how are we to make application of God's word in a time such as this? What can we do? What can we do in the face of racism? What can we do in the face of violence? Well, it basically comes back to Jesus' basic command, love one another as I have loved you. Just like we don't really believe the parts of the Bible we don't really put into practice, love is really only love when it's doing something. Now, we begin with those around us, those closest to us for sure, but we have to reach out beyond them too. Love is really only love when it's doing something. By the way, there are lots of service and mission opportunities on our website currently. Check it out at churchnativity.com/missions. If you're looking for something specific and simple to do, simple, specific acts of service are love in action and the very best application we can make of God's word. God has given us his word. God has given us his word to change our minds, to open our hearts, and to love one another through simple, specific acts of service in order eventually to become like him. Imagine how different you and I would be a year from now. Imagine how different our community and our country would be if those who bear the name of Christ would actually make application of the word of God. It would change everything.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.